Now, do you ever wonder what significance there might be that Transfiguration Sunday is always the Sunday before Lent? Or am I the only one who ponders these things? Well, these readings, this week's reading from Luke's Gospel, describes one of the most mysterious events in the life of Jesus Christ. And it's the moment when, high up on the mountain, Jesus is transfigured in front of Peter, James, and John. Jesus' appearance dramatically changes. His clothes become dazzling white, whiter than anyone could bleach them. And his face shines brightly, and Elijah and Moses appear with him, the two greatest prophets in all of Israel's history. Now, Jesus was transfigured in the sight of three disciples, Peter, James, and John, who were given a glimpse of his divine reality. They see a vision of Christ's godliness and holiness, and these happen to be the three who will be with him in the Garden of Gethsemane when he prays before being arrested and crucified, just a few days later after this happened. Now, these three, especially appointed disciples, get to witness Jesus being purified, sanctified, and then glorified by God in the presence of Moses and Elijah on the mountaintop. What a special thing they got to be a part of. And you might notice that it talks about them being heavy with sleep, which is also something we see happen to them in the Garden of Gethsemane, don't we? But in this case, they stayed awake. Now, Jesus descends from the mountaintop experience, and then he immediately heals a boy possessed by a seizure-inducing demon. Now, could this be to remind the disciples that despite his obvious power and anointing from God, healing is the main message of his ministry? Jesus descends from the mountain shining brightly as the supreme Messiah, and Christ's healing force seems to be reinforced on that mountain after he met with Moses and Elijah to prepare for his last weeks on earth. Clearly, on this mountain, Jesus was strengthened and purified and prepared for whatever was to happen next in his short ministry on earth. But what else happened up there? Bible scholars believe this story was meant to communicate the message that Moses stands for the law, Elijah stands for all the prophets, and that Jesus was and is the Messiah. By singling Jesus out as my son, the beloved, as God said upon the mountain, God sets the gospel over the law and the prophets. Listen to him, says the voice from the cloud. That is the message from God for us all. We are to listen to him. A theologian, Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor, encourages us, though, to put ourselves in Peter's place up on the mountain. Imagine you are Peter there. And she says, try to see and try to feel it from his perspective when a voice from the cloud lifts the hairs on the back of his neck. Have you ever had that feeling when you're shocked by something? She says, you feel fear so fast and primitive, you're bristling like a dog as you wonder, what's the voice saying? Not listen to me, but the voice is saying, listen to him, the Son, the Beloved. But Peter wonders, but listen to what? He's not saying anything. He's shining, or at least he was, and now he's not, and now it's over, and now what? If anything even remotely that strange has ever happened to you, then you know why Peter, James, and John were relieved when Jesus told them later to keep quiet about what happened on that mountain. Supernatural light, famous people who came back from the dead, God from inside a cloud. Things like that may happen in the Bible, but try talking about them now as if they're happening to you, and someone's going to give you the name of a good psychiatrist. But have you ever had such an encounter or such an experience where you questioned your sanity or your understanding of God? When cures and healing are beyond our powers, when the shine on a loved one's face comes from tears in the fluorescent lights of intensive care, it's good to listen to the voice that urges us to follow on and to not give up. For the word does shine in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Well, the Bible is a book of encounters that are transfiguring, in which a long parade of people run into God, each other, life, and are never the same again. Reverend Taylor goes on to say that not only do we meet in the Bible terrifying clouds and hair-raising voices, and we also meet crazy prophets, persistent infertility, armed enemies, and deep depression, along with life-saving strangers, miraculous children, food in the wilderness, and knee-wobbling love. She says, whether such biblical encounters come disguised as good or bad, they have a way of breaking biblical people open, of rearranging what they think they know for sure, so that there is room for more divine movement in their lives. Sometimes the movement involves traveling from one place to another. Sometimes it means changing their angle on what is true and why. Sometimes it involves almost invisible moments of one heart towards another. This encounter on the mountain reminds us that faith has more to do with staying fully present to what is happening right in front of you than with being certain right then about what it all means. The meeting, that's the thing, she says. So I met on YouTube a 6-year-old boy last week that I felt was a powerful example of one heart meeting another, and meeting people in God-like encounters. After both his parents died, little Jaden decided to deal with his grief by making 33,000 people smile. And so let's watch how he does it. Let's turn the lights down.
It is every kid's worst nightmare, and 6-year-old Jaden Hayes has lived it. First, he lost his dad when he was 4. Then last month, his mom died unexpectedly in her sleep.
I tried and I tried, I tried to get her away. Couldn't.
Jaden is understandably heartbroken.
Anybody can die. Just anybody.
But there's another side to his grief. A side he first made public a few weeks ago when he told his aunt and now guardian, Barbara DiCola, that he was sick and tired of seeing everyone sad all the time. And he had a plan to fix it.
That was the beginning of it. That's where the adventure began.
Jaden asked his Aunt Barbara to buy a bunch of little toys and bring them here to downtown Savannah, Georgia, near where he lives.
Thank you.
So he could then...
You want me to have it?
Give them away.
Thank you, man.
What is it you're doing?
Well, I'm trying to make people smile. Rubber duckies, dinosaurs.
Because those are the things that make people smile.
Yeah.
And what happens to their face? Really?
Really.
See that man right there?
Jaden targets people who aren't already smiling and then turns their day around.
You made me smile.
He's gone out on 4 different occasions now, and he's always successful.
It's to make you smile.
Even if sometimes he doesn't get exactly the reaction he was hoping for. It is just so overwhelming to some people that a 6-year-old orphan would give away a toy, expecting nothing in return, except a smile. Of course, He is paid handsomely in hugs.
Who are you?
And his aunt says these reactions have done wonders for Jaden.
It's like sheer joy came out of this child. And the more people that he made smile, the more this light showed.
Jaden says that's mostly true.
But I'm still sad that my mom died.
I bet you are.
This is by no means a fix. But in the smiles he's made so far, nearly 500 at last count, Jaden has clearly found a purpose.
I'm counting on it to be 33,000.
33,000?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big goal.
Mm-hmm.
You think he can make that goal?
I think I can.
I think he just did. It is ever
powerful example of healing by helping others. So let's do all we can to meet God in these upcoming weeks in Lent. Life often seems uncertain. So let's meet God through examining certainties and uncertainties within the relationship between faith in God and science. One of the topics will be the science of happiness that little Jaden has all figured out. Happiness often comes to us from making others happy. No one can make you go and encounter something new about God, though. But if you've been looking for some excuse to head to your own mountaintop and pray, Lent is a good season to do just that. If you've been looking for some way to trade in your old certainties for a new movement in your life, then look no further. This is your chance to enter the cloud of unknowing and listen for whatever it is that God has to say to you and to all of us. Lent is your chance to encounter God deeper and in a new way. My hope for you is that you will encounter God and God's contagious glory this Lenten and Easter season in all the people and in all the circumstances that you meet, not just here in church, but outside of church. They may not all be mountaintop experiences with God speaking to you within a cloud, but you never know. So if you have some God encounters like this little boy, I'd love to hear your stories about it too, and would love to try to pull them together for my Rose Clippings article next time. So my hope for you, and may you find a new way to look at your life and encounter God through a new perspective on how God is working in and through your life, through the struggles and through the joys that you're experiencing right now. And maybe Lent and Easter will bring you a new way of worshiping and glorifying God that expands your understanding of how to demonstrate your love for God and for others in this life. God's contagious glory will transfigure you if you allow it. So let us open ourselves up to encounter God in new ways this season and be less certain of what we already know and more open to what we have yet to learn and encounter. Amen.